when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trucker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, welcome back, Blood River Radio family. I'd like to thank you so much for holding on. And I'd just like to say one more time, people listening right now, you're listening to the 7th anniversary of Blood River Radio. We went on the air this week, 7 years ago. I never thought we'd make it this long. And it's gone so fast, it seems just like it's been a year or two. I don't know how we did it, because in the end, like I told people in the beginning, we sold gold to get money for airtime. Airtime's pretty expensive. I don't know how other people's work, but here on Blood River Radio and with TPC, we had to pay pretty heavy dues for airtime and stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And you have to buy computers and stuff like that. But today is our 7th anniversary of Blood River Radio, and I'm really proud of that. I really am. Sometimes I get tired, and sometimes I think it's just, you know, a fool's errand to try to alert people, because there's so few people are ever going to do anything. Probably if you could get 3% of the white population to lift a finger, that's going to be a damn miracle. But anyway, that's how I thought when about 2 years ago. I didn't think about that when we first started. I thought we could move mountains. But anyway, people, we got my sister, Monica Braveheart Schaefer, coming on. She's going to be on with in a few minutes. Also, my brother, Paul Fromm. They're going to be primarily handling this hour right here. You know, that's how we do things here on Blood River Radio. And it's going to be really great. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And it's not really for entertainment, although you do have to have a little bit of entertainment to keep people's interest, I guess. Unfortunately, just a raw data and raw news doesn't get it. So many people, they'd rather be watching the football game or the soccer game or whatever. But so we're doing the best we can right here. And with that, we try to get the best people we possibly can. And one of the best people we've got is introduced right now. Everybody and his mama knows Sister Monica. How you doing tonight, Miss Sister Monica?
Oh, I'm doing very well, and congratulations, Eddie, for the 7-year anniversary on this really great program, Blood River Radio. And 7 years ago, I was just at the end of my, well, I didn't know it at the time, whether it was the end or just the beginning of a longer prison term, but I was in jail in Germany at this time. And then it wasn't long after I got out of jail that you contacted me, and I just assumed you had been on the air for forever already. But I did not realize it. I think it was in early January of 2019 then that I was on your show with you for the first time, and not realizing that you had only just started it a couple of months earlier. So, yeah, congratulations on that. And just a comment about, you know, it's so few people and it's so discouraging, but I can tell you, It is changing rapidly. I think COVID did a lot to change that, and all kinds of other insane events. I mean, the insanity around us is such that if somebody had told us some of just only a fraction of what is going on and what is passing for quote unquote normal these days, even just 20 years ago, or if somebody was transplanted from, you know, another planet and they come onto Earth right now, honestly, they would think this is either a giant farcical theatrical play going on. Well, come to think of it, that is largely what so many of the events that are brought to us as news of the day, that's what they are. But it's all, you know, with an agenda, and it's just amazing. But, you know, a refreshing experience just the other day, a few days ago, I had the pleasure of meeting a couple of people. Just they were friends of friends. They were at my friend's place, and within half a minute, I would say, we understood that we were really on the same page about a lot of things. And this just, it's amazing, actually, the power of that, our coming together. And my brother Alfred so often talks about the power of our people when we come together and are, you know, on the same page. And that's happening more and more, Eddie, that this is really the time when you either have to be kind of a fence post with less than 3 brain cells. If you're not getting it, that there's something very wrong, and it's not always our fault, because that's what they want us to believe, that, oh, well, yes, all these bad things are happening, but it's really our fault. I'm talking about, you know, the Aryan race, the Caucasians, the European stock people. But anyway, I'm really babbling on, but I guess I was inspired by that because you're talking about your 7-year anniversary. Congratulations on that. And I know that Paul had a couple of things that he wanted to make announcements of things going on, and I certainly do too. And I think we're probably going to be, I think the same things that I want to talk about are perhaps those things that Paul wants to tell you about. So why don't I just, you know, pass the microphone.
Well, I'll speak about Paul for a minute too, but Paul, to give credit to Paul Fromm. Paul, had it not been for Paul Fromm, I would have never found out about you, Monica. That's how, because you were on the speaking
tour. Well, thank you, Paul. I'm very happy that I have had this great pleasure of working with you, Eddie. Over the, especially the last few years, we've done a lot of these programs together, and I mean, I'm really, really honored and happy to have been able to do that. Thank you.
Well, I tell you what, the same to you. I'm greatly honored to be. I consider myself your spirit older brother. I really do. And I'll just say this one more time. I know you don't like to. You're a little bit embarrassed with people talking about how good you are, your virtues, but very, very few men, damn few. It's really a shame how few men will stand up and say something about the disappearance of the white race. But you, Sister Monica, not only do you just say it, by God, you get in the streets and you do all kinds of activities, waking people up. You even paid the damn price of serving in the damn gulag of Germany for your beliefs. And I'm so damn proud to be associated with you. God bless you. And God bless Paul Fromm, for he's been in this battle for years and years and years. But I'm getting all emotional now with that, so I guess I'll shut the hell up and go over to Brother Paul, because he's got a lot of stuff that we need to talk about tonight. How you doing, Brother Paul?
Well, I'm doing well, very enthusiastic about the growth of the freedom movement in Canada. I received a message over Telegram yesterday from a fellow. He wanted to buy some books. He, one of the people who had been at my meeting in Hamilton at my place last Sunday, took some pictures of my book table and sent it to this fellow. And he says he's been watching my videos from over the years and is very inspired and made a lot of very complimentary remarks. And then he placed an order for some books. And then I discovered he's only 16. I mean, you know, we are having an impact, and you know, we don't always immediately know what it is, I wanted to say earlier, happy birthday to you, Eddie, and just happy birthday to us. 7 years is really impressive, and one of the things that I have noticed in my career in white nationalist politics is that, you know, a lot of people come and go. Some people catch fire, burn brightly for 6 months, and then are never heard of again. But a lot of people have really stayed the course. You know, I think of great people like Pastor Tom Robb and his son Jason and Rachel, and people like Dr. Ed Fields, and of course people like Monica in Canada and Alfred Schaefer in Germany. I really admire anybody who can keep something going. You know, some people have a burst of enthusiasm and they put on a meeting or a rally and you know, 6 months later, you know, they're off fishing or something. You know, we really need that long-term dedication. And, you know, obviously you have it to have kept this and the financing. You know, a lot of, I'm sure listeners don't appreciate that the bills are there every month.
Yes.
That there's no respite. And while each of us may go through a difficult financial time or whatever it might be, regardless, your bill keeps coming in every month. And you've managed to pull it together. And that's really admirable.
Thank you so much, Paul. With that, we're going to get to our first break of the second hour. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you. Thank you so much for holding on. We will continue our broadcast of our this week. It was this week, if I believe our first Saturday that we were on was October the 6th. But at any rate, 7 years ago, Blood River Radio went on the air. We surely did. And it wasn't long after that. As you know, I'll make this quick. We get our name, Blood River Radio, from the Nkome River in South Africa, where the Afrikaners, the Boer Trekkers, of just a handful of them stood against 35,000 Zulus. The Zulus are supposed to be the cream of the crop fighters of the blacks in Africa, and they got their heads handed to them. Those few Afrikaners, they killed so many of those blacks. So many of them were killed, the river turned red. Hence the term Blood River. That's why we named this program Blood River Radio. We did it to honor our white brothers and sisters long ago in that battle. I think it was 1838. But anyway,
and Eddie, before the battle, our Afrikaner brothers prayed to the Lord for strength and guidance. This was not only a military victory but a spiritual victory. And you're right, the Zulus were good, unlike some of the other African tribes who were, you know, were very disorganized. The Zulus had, I guess you might call them battalions or impis, and they were organized, they were disciplined, and they were a formidable foe. This wasn't like shooting fish in a barrel. This was a real battle, and the Afrikaners did tremendously well.
Yes, they did. I think I used to know the exact number. There was less than 500 Afrikaners, and I remember Simon Roach has come on and said that there was upwards of 35,000 Zulus, and they God, you're absolutely right. God was with them, and they dedicated before the battle. I'll make this quick. We can go to Monica. Or you, Paul. Before the battle, they prayed to God, and they said, I used to recite that prayer from time to time on Blood River, and I still do. Anytime we have a guest from South Africa, I recite the day of the bow. Anyway, they built it. They told God that he would spare them and keep them from getting killed by these thousands and thousands of bloodthirsty feral Negroes that we call Zulus, that they would build a temple to worship, a temple of worship, that they would teach their children to always remember that day, the day of the vow, that God saved them from certain death. And that's what they did. They did it to this day. But this, anyway, since this is our seventh anniversary, I thought I'd tell people how we got our name, Blood River Radio. I really do. It was to honor our white brothers and sisters so long ago, and we still do try to bend an ear toward the people in South Africa. But the closing remarks about the radio, et cetera. Simon Roach told me the last time I spoke to him, it was quite some time ago, he said that the United States is in worse shape right now than South Africa. He really did. I rode to Charlottesville with him 7 years ago. Back in 2017, 8 years ago, I rode to Charlottesville with Simon, and he said that all the signs of a communist takeover that he saw in South Africa or here in the United States, and it's already come to fruition. Anyway, with that aside, I think I always get confused. I think we got to go to Paul. Paul, you said something about German Heritage Rally you were going to go to, and would you like to take off on that, and then you and Monica can finish out this hour.
You know, it's unfortunately I was not able to make it, but I do have pictures from it. It's extremely important that we keep that we celebrate the important days in our ethnic heritage, because our presence in the North American melting pot tends to dilute our individual ethnic histories, and that's a bad thing. It also therefore dilutes good reasons to be proud, and of course the entire white race is under a psychological assault to try to make us despise ourselves, hate ourselves, and so on. So whenever you can stress something positive about us or even the group within our people, it's well worth doing. So for the last few years, my friends in the Committee of East German Expellees, these are the 16 million or so Germans who were ethnically cleansed, the biggest ethnic cleansing in human history, ethnically cleansed with the active connivance of the United States, Britain, and of course the Soviet Union, which did most of it at the end of the Second World War. 3 million of them were killed. You don't hear that too much in the Hollywood productions. But anyway, it's important to commemorate the heritage, and so they gather on the lawn of Queen's Park, which is our provincial legislature in Ontario. On the I usually think it's the 3rd or 4th of October, and there's a good group there yesterday, and it was led by my friend, and I've had him on the German Hour, Christian Klein, and he said, it's kind of a sad remark. I do celebrate German reunification, but not completely, because there are parts of Germany that have not been reunited. For instance, his native Silesia, which was gobbled up by Poland, East and West Prussia, which were gobbled up by Poland and Russia, and the Sudetenland, which is part of Czechoslovakia now, the Czech Republic, and the land of the Danube Swabians, or the Donauschwaben, which was Western Romania and what used to be Northern Yugoslavia, those folks had almost all been expelled. So It was a time of there was a celebration, but also a bit bittersweet. And it's important to keep that information out there and to make people proud. So, of course, thank heavens, they had a good day. Beautiful, balmy Indian summer. Maybe I shouldn't say Indian summer. Should I say Native people, First Nations? or as my French-Canadian friend, Jean-Jacqueline Demers, used to say, des sauvages. You can understand what that means in English.
Yeah, that's really important, like you say, Paul, because one of our jobs not only is to correct the false history that we've been taught, but also to revive pride in our ancestors. And I mean, these celebrations do both, I think, you know, to bring awareness about the fact that we've been lied to and teach people about all those expellees, the expelled people, and teach people about that, but also to have to honor our people, to honor our ancestors, to honor our folk. It's so important. And I just wanted to go back to, you know, what you said there, and when Eddie, you gave us the history of the name of the show, Blood River Radio, and where that comes from. And then Paul, you commented it was a spiritual battle. They did that prayer and vow before they went into battle, and they had help. There is no question. They had divine help, and it made me think how appropriate it is, Eddie, that you have this name for the show, because our entire struggle, our entire battle that we are in, is a spiritual battle between good and evil on this earth right now. I mean, all of it is a battle between good and evil. I do see it as a spiritual struggle between these two opposing forces that, of course, they manifest in all these real world attacks on our people, but ultimately it's a spiritual battle, I do think.
I could not agree more. You know, in fact, I was going to try to look up, there's a scripture, I think it's is it Ephesians? It says something like, I'll just kind of quote, I'll paraphrase it. I won't look it up. It goes like this. You need to put on the whole armor of God, you know, against the devil's arrows and slings and spears. And it says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the spirit of evil in high places, the spirits of darkness. It goes on like that. It does. We do have evil in high places. Mark Tommy was just talking about that on the first hour. We talked about how the United States government, especially the FBI, and the so-called law enforcement bureaucracy, the CIA, the NSA, the TSA, all these alphabet soup legal organizations in the United States, they're totally evil. The government of the United States is totally evil. There's probably only about three or four representatives in the House of Congress, in the representatives. We here in the United States, we have a Congress, and we have a Senate. We have more congressmen than we do senators, of course, but they're just evil as hell. I'll make this quick. We used to have a fellow coming out. I hadn't heard of him in a long time, Inspector Jim Rothstein. He was not Jewish. He'd tell you in a heartbeat he wasn't Jewish. He's from a farm in Minnesota years ago. But he was in the Navy. He was in the Naval Intelligence. But he was a beat cop in Washington, D.C., and he talked about that. He said, if you want to see pure, unadulterated evil, I'm sorry, he was a beat cop in New York, but he talked about how pure evil the United States government was. And with that, folks, I hear the music. This is going to be a long break, about 4 minutes. We've got time, so we'll use the restroom, get coffee, whatever. But be back in about 4 minutes, folks. Don't be late.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. British authorities have declared Thursday's Yom Kippur attack against a synagogue in Manchester an act of terrorism. They are still investigating what motivated the attacker. He was shot dead by police. Police are questioning six other people in connection with the attack. We are learning more about the attacker as correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
Jihad El-Shami was shot and killed by police outside the Heaton Park Congregation Synagogue after he rammed a car into pedestrians and attacked them with a knife. Two people were killed. Detectives say El-Shami, a British citizen of Syrian origin who lived in Manchester, may have been influenced by extreme Islamist ideology. They are still trying to determine if he acted alone. Three men and three women were arrested on suspicion of the commission, preparation, and instigation of acts of terrorism. A court granted police five more days to hold them. I'm Ed Donahue.
Correspondent Donna Warder explains reports that the Russia drone strike on Ukraine that the country's president is calling savage.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says a Russian drone strike on Saturday struck a Ukrainian rail station, injuring at least 30 people. It happened in Shostka, a city northeast of Kyiv, about 43 miles from the Russian border in the Sumy region. The regional governor says in a video handout that seven of the injured are in the hospital, one with critical injuries. I'm Donna Warder.
Former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez is in critical condition after being stabbed in Indianapolis early today. Sanchez, who works as a commentator for Sports Network, was in Indy covering the Colts and Raiders game for tomorrow. Chicago Mass Transit is starting to feel the effects of the government shutdown. White House Budget Director Russ Vogt says the administration will withhold $2.1 billion for Chicago infrastructure projects. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings us Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlock mental clarity and precision, nurture your memory, and boost your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory and mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy or not recalling things as quickly as you used to, Think Factor could be just what you need to reclaim your cognitive edge. I am so thrilled with the results I personally have received from Think Factor. I'm thinking clearer and better than ever. If you've ever thought, I wish I could be more clear, more focused, try Think Factor today. Call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Think Factor. Think clearer. Perform better daily.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Hello friends, this is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven wisdom would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you so much. I'd like to also like to say how grateful I am that Sister Braveheart Monica is on, and Brother Paul. God bless those two people. They've been in this movement for so long. I can't thank them enough for being on Blood River Radio. Monica has been a stalwart here for a long time. Paul has recently, too, since we started the German history course we hadn't done in quite a while. But I would just like to thank them over the air. You people, that you need to pray for these two people. They have served you. They have served the white race. They're one out of a thousand. I mean, even the American Revolution, the first one with, you know, the colonists against England, it's been said that there was 1% to no more than 3% of the colonists participated in that war. Nowadays, I think you'd be very hard-pressed to get a half of 1% to do any damn thing, even though with the so-called awakening. I guess I'm getting really sour on the coward. Matter of fact, there's an article I was looking at here about standing tall in an age of cowardice on the American Freedom News Radio. But anyway, I'm going to shut the hell up now. I'm going too long. Sister Monica, you've got some things you want to talk about that you and Paul talked about together. So go ahead, Sister Monica.
Yes. Well, this item is of historical importance. As all your listeners, I'm sure, are aware, there are many, many countries, and maybe Paul will know how many countries there are now, which have laws telling you what to believe or not to believe, or what you're not allowed to question about our history, in particular World War II history, and more particularly this so-called Jewish Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were put into gas chambers by those so-called evil Nazis. There are laws in many countries. I think it's upwards of 20 or maybe more countries. And Canada joined ranks very ashamedly, I will say, in 2022. And they snuck this bill in to the budget bill. I don't think a single member of parliament voted against it, because these budget bills are kind of like your omnibus bills in the United States. They put things in that have nothing to do with the budget, but they sneak them in. I think it was an actual separate bill, Bill C-19. I think Paul will correct me on that. Anyway, to cut to the chase, we have our first, and this is just a very sad day for Canada, first casualty of this. There is a man in a jail now in Ontario. His name is Kenneth Paulin, 51 years old, and he has been jailed for, so, quote-unquote, Holocaust denial. And I'm going to hand it over to Paul, because I think Paul has more detail and more to say about this.
Yes, and I, when we, maybe on the next program, I'll have a mailing address for him. He's in jail, but not sure where. I urge American listeners and Canadian to write to this fellow in prison as a political prisoner. You know, the impact of letters and cards. You don't have to say a lot. You probably don't know this guy from a hole in the ground. I don't either. But just that friendly gesture. Hey, we care about you. You know, I live in Columbia, South Carolina, and I've heard about you, and I just like to let you know I care about you and I care about freedom. Yeah, you wouldn't believe how much that means to prisoners. I'll just say
I can attest to what you say about the importance of letters and cards, because I experienced it. It absolutely made all the difference to my stay in the jail there. I cannot even tell you how much of a difference it made. So, yes, thank you very much, Paul. And I did look up, he's in Central North Correctional Center in Penetanguishene, Ontario. Hard to pronounce, but I will...
Penetanguishene, it used to be the old nut house. Oh, I mean, mental asylum.
Sorry. Yeah. And as soon as you have that address, I'll post that on my website as well. Yes.
Thank you. Would you send it to me? If anybody is interested in writing, email me and I'll send it on to you. My email is very simple. paul@paulfromm.com. That's paul@paulfromm.com. And ask for the mailing address of this prisoner. It's really, really important. Now, he's a political prisoner. He's in jail for the nonviolent expression of his political views. I did not. The newspaper reports we have, they are almost entirely a Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal press release. I've checked three or four of them. They're all the same thing, almost word for word. So there's no independent reporting. So we don't know exactly what he said, except that he repeatedly, on the internet, I think on podcasts, denied the Jewish folk history about the 6 million. Now, you have to understand, Canada is a religious country. But we're not a Christian country. We're not a Buddhist country. We're not a Hindu country. We have a religion, and it's Holocaust. Like any country with a state religion or any theocracy, it's very unwise to say you disagree with it. And in Canada, it is a criminal offense, punishable by 2 years in prison, to deny this Jewish folk history called the Holocaust. He's a political prisoner. He's not in there because he beat somebody up, or he set off a bomb, or he stole a lot of money. He's in there because he expressed his views, and that is beyond disgusting. If you send him a letter, you're shaming the Canadian system. Now, that's important. A lot of people feel helpless at when these things happen. I know a lot of Canadians feel helpless. You can't do everything, but everybody can do something. And is anybody so, poor or so unable to do things as to be able to get a postcard or a piece of paper and an envelope, write his address on it, and write him a sentence or two? The impact of that is incredible. And I know from other political prisoners in Canada that the guards were flabbergasted when people like Les Borie was getting letters from all over the world. And people like political prisoner Brad Love was getting letters. This is unheard of. Most of the people in prison, and I don't mean to be nasty, but are losers. They usually don't have much of a family. The girlfriends run off. Or, he beat up the wife and he doesn't have much of a family,
actually,
the kids.
I'll just interject. The balance is shifting between that analysis and, good people meeting behind bars in our tyrannical times when the window narrows on us, our freedoms and our activities. But you're right, Paul, in essence. But I'm just saying it's shifting a little bit. There's good people behind bars.
I qualify that by saying most or many, but the point being, very few people get much correspondence. Maybe if you're still lucky enough to have a wife or a girlfriend or kids that still like you, you get some letters, and that's true. I'm actively in touch with people in prison, it really stands out if an individual gets some correspondence, especially from, other parts of the world. So it's a small gesture. I mean, it'll take you 10 minutes, and it means so much. And it's one thing we can do, and it's one way you can stick your middle finger up at the system for what they're doing.
Well said, Paul. Thank you. And as soon as I get that address, I don't have it yet, but we'll make sure that we spread that around. But I'll just have to verify where he is exactly. This was just a brief online search of where he actually is. So we'll get that.
When Dr. James Sears was sent to jail for the second time, in the middle of the night, he was moved from the South Toronto Detention Center abruptly up to that, I think it's called, Central Ontario. It's in Penetanguishene. And so as this fellow comes from North Bay, which would be about 100 miles away, I guess that's where they put him for his sentence. So, if we can get that address, that'd be really helpful.
All right. So, Eddie, the other thing that I wanted to talk about is, unless you want to just make a comment about this political prisoner, and then maybe after the break we'll go to the next topic.
I was just going to say our brother, I think he's probably the greatest white man in the past 500 years, Adolf Hitler said something like that. I think he's the one that said that within the times of tyranny, time when we have an evil dictator putting people in jail, he said something like, all the best people meet in prison. So I was backing you up on that. Anyway, we're going to our last break, the second hour.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, during the break, which I wish our listeners could, our family members could hear what we talked about, I was talking to Sister Monica and Brother Paul. I was asking Sister Monica, does she think in our lifetime, and I'm getting pretty along with it too. I was asking her, and I'll ask her right now in the air, will we see a change with the Jews, the international Jew? Will they ever lose so much power and influence that people will be able to come out and tell the truth about the Hola hoax without risking prison, or maybe even being congratulated for telling about the truth about the Hola hoax? So, Sister Monica, do you think, or are you pessimistic or optimistic on that? Do you think that will ever change, the people will be able to, it's in the United States, even more so in Canada and in Europe, if you deny the Holocaust, that's what Sister Monica got in prison for, something to that effect, for not going along with the Hola hoax. Like Brother Paul said, it's a Holocaustianity is the religion. Like here in the United States, it's churchianity with the Southern Baptists. In Canada, the Holocaustianity. So what about this, Sister Monica? What's your prediction on that?
Well, I think that the Jews are running out of time. Their time is up soon. I really do believe that. I think that the lies are going to collapse under their own weight. Somebody famous said that there during World War II or at the end there. I think it was probably Joseph Goebbels. And I'd say it every day. I'm breaking a law right now. The Holocaust is a fictional. There was a rabbi that said that. It's very successful fiction, isn't it? So successful for the Jews, you know. They've gotten a lot out of it, but they're running out. They're running out, and yes, I think it's collapsing very quickly. Sometimes these things turn very, very quickly, and whether we can actually freely say these things without, you know, bumping up against some blots of toner on paper or not, I don't know. But, you know, in Bolshevik times, there were two languages. There was the one being spoken behind closed doors in everybody's homes, and then there was the one out on the streets. And I don't mean two different linguistic languages. I just mean that everybody was talking, and that's becoming the case now, that people know. But it's, you know, people have to shed their fear. And see, of course, they want to make examples of people like this man, Kenneth Paulin. They want to scare everybody else. But we have to remind ourselves and always remember these are just blots of toner on paper. And it's not God's law. It's not natural law. It's not a common law thing to make some kind of a so-called, you know, law that you can't talk about history in a way that upsets them, their religion. So, yeah, that's, I mean, I'm rambling on with kind of a philosophical answer and also an optimistic answer that they are running out of time. It is just becoming... go ahead.
I agree with Sister Monica because two things. Fewer and fewer people have a gut attachment to the so-called Holocaust. World War II has been over for 80 years, so... So those people who fought in it, you know, probably misguidedly, they're almost all dead, and they will all be dead within, you know, another a few years. The several generations since then, and the polls are showing this, about 25% of the people either believe the Holocaust didn't happen, or is rather greatly exaggerated, and these are mostly people under 40, so they're losing the propaganda war. They have also lost massively with the butchery and the devastation going on in Gaza, especially for younger people. You see it on your social media. You see it even in the mainstream media. The role as victim is rapidly going away, and there are fewer and fewer people who care about that. I'm reminded of a great Travis Tritt song. Here's a quarter called "Someone Who Cares." and what I would do, and you know, I've thought about this a long time. If they bring in such a law as they have in Canada, well, I will say, I'm not a historian, and I wasn't there, so I don't really know about this Holocaust thing, but. I do know this, that according to what we told, it didn't happen in Canada or the United States. It didn't happen to Canadians or Americans. It wasn't done by Canadians or Americans. And we apparently fought the people who allegedly did it. So we're the good guys. I'm not interested. Here's a quarter. Call someone who cares. And even for the moment... you know, rather than arguing over the details, I just don't care. Now, you can't make me care. You may prevent me from speaking my mind, but you can't make me care. Here's another thing. It's a religion. Now, a religion is irrational. And I don't mean that to be nasty, but religious faith, I can't prove to you that Jesus Christ was Lord, logically. You must believe or you don't believe. Okay,
true.
I can't talk about the Holocaust or about the details, but I'm supposed to believe. Well, wait a sec. You're infringing on my... You're trying to impose a religion on me. Every bit as much as if you're trying to impose Buddhism or Islam or something else on me. And we're supposed to have religious freedom. Well, I shouldn't have to believe in something I don't believe in.
Yeah. This thing about it's a religion, that's absolutely true, Holocaustianity. Now, I'm going to segue this, and I think, you know, this is, gives it added import. It's very important that we understand this, because right now in Canada, they are rolling out our very own Holocaust, and they are using this other one as a blueprint for how they do it. And I'm talking about the Aboriginals, and I've talked about this many times. Now, we just passed this September 30th, this national holiday, Truth and Reconciliation Day, whatever it, you know, the Orange Shirt Day and all this, and they are indeed using tactics that are just, I can't help it, they remind me of the tactics that they have used to create the Holocaust narrative. So, no evidence? Oh, well, you know, if you ask for evidence, oh, you're a hateful person and you're a denier. Now they're calling it residential school denier. Now,
yeah,
that's just like Holocaust denier. They'll conflate that with, oh, we're denying that there were any work camps. No, nobody's denying that there were residential schools, but we might be asking for evidence about all these unmarked graves. And that's sort of the start of this edition of the story that started in 2021 with these 215 anomalies found in Kamloops, British Columbia, the old residential school. And I'm telling you, they are taking to this to the nines. And I could talk for hours about this, but I'll tell you one thing. As much as this was a genocidal place, this is their story, when the Canadian government was shutting down these schools, mostly in the 60s and 70s, the last one I think closed in 1994. But anyway, there were many bands, Indian bands, who lobbied the government to keep them open. And I do believe Kamloops was one of those places. Now, I can just imagine those parents of, you know, I guess 215 children went missing, they never came home, and this was a genocidal place, it was just so horrible. But gee, if I was a parent of one of those places, yeah, I would really lobby the government, please, please keep this school open, this genocidal school, we just love it. I mean, this is how ridiculous it is, you know. So there, we could go on and on about it, but I'll hand it back to Paul, because we just have a minute left or so.
In fact, there is an active effort to make denialism, that is, any dissension from the view that we committed genocide of the native people. Conrad Black, one of our, you know, big conservative writers, said that at the time of when we came back to North America in 1534 with Jacques Cartier, there were perhaps 300,000 native people in all of Canada. That's like an infinitesimal number of tiny bands, etc. If we committed genocide, there wouldn't be 1.5 million of them here today. This is just they.
We're not very efficient.
These,
efficient. just like the Germans were so inefficient. Sorry, I just had to say
they
that.
They concoct these. Stories as simply a huge cash grab. This is worth billions of dollars in guilt money. It's a shameless flim-flam. But a Canadian politician, Maxime Bernier, of the leader of the People's
Paul,
Party,
we've run completely out of time, sadly to say.
They want to charge him.
Sorry. Well, listen, y'all, like I said, we've run completely out of time. It's just been wonderful having you, Paul, and you, Sister Monica, on It made me feel so good. It made my day having you two people on. But love both of you very much. I consider you brother and sister. I really do. Thank you again for coming on. And y'all stay in touch with me, and I'll do the same to stay in touch with y'all.
Thank you very much, Blood Eddie. River Radio.
Thank you, Sister Monica. Dear Blood River Radio family, we've got to transition to the third hour. I got to pick up brother, Bitter Ender, Gene Andrews, for the Confederate History Hour. Be right back, folks.